Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison, here to tell you GEICO has more than just great savings. Much more. GEICO's been around for more than 75 years, back when they were using Morse code. Sorry, that's just my sense of humor. What's more, with GEICO, you get 24/7 access to licensed agents on the app, online, or over the phone, so you can talk to them at night or in the morning. So forevermore, just know that no other auto insurer has more than GEICO. More power to you. GEICO. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Blog Talk Radio.
Best-selling and award-winning author of true crime and crime fiction, Yvonne Mason is back with a brand new book, The Pink Canary, a book that delves into the life of a drag queen and a marvelous whodunit. You can find this and all of Yvonne's other works on Amazon.com or find Yvonne Mason on Facebook and Twitter.
You're gonna kill me.
Buy your copy of Pink Canary now.
Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen. It is Thursday night, the day after the Ides of March. And for those of you who do not know what the Ides of March means, when I say it in that tone of voice, go back and read Shakespeare's Julius Caesar. A tu, Brute? This is Off the Chain. I am your host, Yvonne Mason, and yes, that was a shameless piece of self-promotion. My friend Chris Dunham, who is also my voiceover ad man for my books, does a marvelous job. And The Pink Canary, well, you just have to read it. Can't explain it, and if you don't understand drag queens and private detectives, you won't understand the book, so I dare you to go get it. You'll fall down laughing. We are growing by leaps and bounds, ladies and gentlemen. We're well over 11,000 listeners all over the world. And just to run down the list, because it excites me every time I do, we're heard in Hungary and Norway and Bulgaria, Malaysia, Vietnam, the Ukraine, Finland, Sweden, Korea, Ecuador, Tunisia, the Netherlands, the Russian Federation, Singapore, of course the U.S., Ireland, Germany, Egypt, the U.K., Australia, Indonesia, Canada, Croatia, New Zealand, Brazil, Taiwan, South Africa, India, Portugal, Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, Nigeria, and we now can add Mexico to our list of listeners. And I want to thank everyone in those countries who take the time out of their life to listen to this show. It is so much appreciated. And Australia, y'all are running away on the map with listeners. Y'all are at 72% of my listeners just on Blog Talk. You outbeat the good old USA. Now it's almost 3-1, and I am so grateful for you guys. You just don't know how much I appreciate y'all. And then a little bit more shameless self-promotion. You can go on capital V, capital I, capital D, capital A.com and type in my married name, Yvonne Sewell, and you will see some of the most beautiful designs on clothing, on pillows, on purses and totes that you've ever seen. It is my photography that this company has come after and said, please put your designs on our products. So I have. And if you want to buy my photographs, you can go on viewbug.com under Yvonne Mason and hang one of my photographs on your wall. Now that's enough about me. Tonight's show is going to be really, really off the chain. I've known this gentleman for many, many years. We've laughed and we've cried together, and I've been on his show a couple of times, and he's an amazing...
And you're welcome to come back, by the way.
And I will. I will. Just got to work it out. He is an amazing human being. His name is Bennett Pomerantz, and he's covered the audio medium for the last 29 years. And in his syndicated weekly newspaper column, Audio World and Movies of Your Mind, and Affaire Decor magazine, this is where he showcases his vast and diverse knowledge of the spoken word medium. He also has his own other weekly newspaper column, A Piece of the Page, where he reviews books. To Be or What, which is his op-ed column, where he deals on issues that are important to him. Bennett also writes his monthly internet self-help columns for writers and A Piece of My Mind, which appears in the pages of Night Owl Review magazines. Known as a media critic, Bennett's work, fiction and nonfiction, has appeared in such publications as Audio Life magazine, The Paper, AudioBookCafe.com, Mystery Scene magazine, Power Star Magazine, Strange New Worlds, Gateways Magazine, Truckers USA, The Writing Life, Washington Entertainment Magazine, Quantum Collectors, The Jewish Week, The Sun Gazette, Ancient Heritage, Map of Austin Poetry, and Hot Corner Magazine. But it has also been a top 1,000 reviewer for Amazon.com, which he still reviews all media products. Just makes me tired thinking about it. And the man,
I don't do anything. I'm lazy.
Yeah, I know. And you have radio shows out the wazoo.
Well, let's quickly talk about my radio shows, because I figure if somebody in Australia is going to come tune in, I want them to tune in. I, you know, I'm jealous of how many fans you have. You have a lot of fans. I do too. But it's like I want more, like you do. But I have on Monday night with the lovely attorney Sarah Avram, the legal show. We discuss legal issues, you know, and people are like, you guys give me the common sense version of the law, and we do that. On Wednesday with the lovely Rachel Thompson, who's right now on sabbatical. She's got a new book coming out. She and I do a show called Let's Talk, and we try to get authors and writers and artists, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. On Friday night is Anything Goes. That's the flagship of the network, my network. And then I have a show that I started on the World of Ink Network, the lovely Marsha Casper Cook, and I brought it to my own. And it's called Any Which Way But Loose. That's four chairs, four writers, four whatever, artists, and me for 90 minutes. And it's a lot of fun. So I'm not doing anything. I'm lazy.
And you never sleep, right?
Oh, no. Are you kidding? Sleep? That's for sissies.
Yeah, that's overrated.
Right? Well, it's like Weird Al Yankovic. I'll be mellow when I'm dead. I'll be mellow.
There you go. You co-produced, and this isn't in the bio on the show, but you co-produced an audio collection from Americana Audio Publishers entitled
That was years
Spirit
ago,
of,
yeah.
Yeah, Spirit of the American Voice.
Yeah.
Let the folks know what that's about, because that is very powerful.
Okay. Spirit of the American Voice took place right after 9/11. I had 10 of my friends. I was in Crystal City the day that the bomb went off, whatever you want to call it, the plane hit, whatever, hit the Pentagon. I had taken a friend of mine who was an officer to breakfast, and at that time it was the Stouffer's. I don't know if they've changed the name 20 times or what, but he and I went to breakfast, and 15 of my friends passed away because the plane hit one of their offices, and I went to a lot of funerals that time, and I said, I have to do something, and I talked to Simon Schuster, we're going to work on something. I talked to Random House. They're going to work on something. Americana, which was a small publisher, it still is, said, oh, well, we'd love to. Can you help us? And I got together, and I got Dr. Robert Schuller and a couple other people, and I got people, some of them reading their own work, some not, and it was done in about a month after 9/11. And they said it was
still out there?
I found a couple of copies on eBay, and I was at an appearance, and somebody asked me to autograph it.
Wow.
So is it out there? I don't know.
I wonder if someone went on Amazon, if one could find it on Amazon.
If it's there, fine. I autographed about two or three CDs of it. I took my track off for other people's, if that makes any sense,
uh-huh.
Including poet Danny Queen, including other people that I wanted to make sure that their tracks were on more than mine. I mean, I have a lovely, lovely voice. Yet, on the other hand, I think it's more important that other people are on there.
And that's why you're successful, Bennett, because you think of others before you think of yourself.
Oh, come on. I think of me, too. Don't get me wrong. I'm the biggest promoter of my stuff out there. I love my stuff.
But that's the thing, that and we'll talk about that in a few minutes, but I want to digress a little bit. You've listened to enough of my shows. When I bring a guest on, I want my listeners to know that person before they learn about the professional person and their product. So I want to step back a little bit. We were enjoying some stories earlier about your mom and your new book that's coming out, and then we'll cover that too. But go back into history. I want to know about young Bennett, how Bennett got from the young child that he is to where he is today. I mean, you've got a bio that most people would give their right arm for. So was it something you always wanted to do? Was it something you fell in? How did you get here?
I loved writing. I still do love writing. Fiction, nonfiction, whatever. I find more joy, and I love reviewing. I love being honest with my readership or listenership and telling them the truth. But I also love my To Be or What column, which is, I try to stay away from being political. I don't like politics. Some people like to be political. I don't. If you want me to tell you what I think of Trump, not on the air, not in a column. Okay, would I tell you what I think? Yeah, privately. I'm not going to do it publicly. Somebody said, well, who are you voting for? I said, I walk in the voting booth, I pull the curtain over, I check who I go, I pull it back, and I leave. It's none of your concern who I vote for. My business is private.
Exactly.
And I'm not trying to sound political with this. Somebody says, well, I didn't vote for Trump. Congratulations. I don't say who I voted for or who I didn't. But I can respect he's the man in the White House for the next supposed 4 years unless we impeach him. And that's not my business to do or don't do. But, you know, you don't like his policies? Fine, you voted for him. Well, I didn't vote for him. Well, if you didn't vote for him, that's fine. You at least were honest enough to say you didn't vote for him. He must have won something. I don't know if the Russians rigged the election. I don't know. But he's honest enough. He's the man in right now. And unless you can get him out on a technicality, you know, he's the one we have for the next 4 years.
So, as a child,
yes,
did you write? Did you play it being on the radio? What drove you to do what you did?
Well, okay, I love classic old radio shows, Jack Benny, The Shadow, Lone Ranger, The Green Hornet. I mean, I still listen to radio shows, old shows that are 60, 70 years old, and I'm still listening to them on MP3s. When I have to do some things in during the day, yeah, I'll put an MP3 on and listen to Vincent Price doing The Saint and other shows. Radio, Colonial Radio Theater, and thank you, Jerry Robbins. He is a wonderful project that I love listening to. The art of radio fascinates me. Writing? Oh, yeah. I have the most I have stories I still have from when I was a kid that I'm still developing from a, you know. I'm almost 60, and I'm still developing stories like when I was a kid.
So I'm understanding you to say that you started writing as a child.
Oh, yeah. You have to understand, we were stuck in military bases. You had either the PX, which I loved every weekend, or playing with imaginary friends, because most of the people didn't talk your language, or they were adults, or reading, which I did, or writing. And I mean, I always thought it was very, very funny. At 9, I was reading Les Miserables, the unabridged version. And most adults would come up and say, "Is that your daddy or mommy's book?" I said, "No, it's mine." And that shut them up, and they walked away. Because they didn't know how to handle a kid that was reading Les Miserables. You know. And then I was reading War and Peace, and they're like, "You're reading War and Peace?"
I read that when I was about 19 years old myself.
No, I was 10.
And then I had to turn around and read Dr. Zhivago behind it.
Oh, no, Dr. Zhivago, I didn't catch on till I was 25. And this was after I saw the movie. So, and I love good movies. I have over 6,000 of them.
Wow.
So, tonight or last night, I was watching Miracle of the White Stallion with Robert Taylor and James Franciscus and Eddie Albert, and I was loving this. And it's like from 1962 or 63.
Yep.
And Patrick McGoohan in Dr. Sin, and if you were a Disney kid, it was Scarecrow Romney Marsh. And, oh, God, I loved it, This is when Disney did good entertainment and not having the shaggy dog with Tim Allen going, "Who else is going to sniff my butt?" No.
That was
this
before.
Is when they, a friend of mine said, "What did you get lately in the mail?" I said, "Almost Angels." And they said, "What's that?" "About the Vienna Boys Choir." And this was a Disney film.
Yep.
And they don't do a lot of the good entertainment anymore. I mean, a lot of the old Disneys, yeah, they had the Wonderful World of Color and the Wonderful World of Disney. And unless you find bootlegs of Texas John Slaughter and El Fago Baca and Swamp Fox, you're not going to get some of the good classic Disney that should be out there. And they should re-release Swamp Fox and El Fago Baca.
Swamp Fox was my absolute favorite. I loved it.
Oh, yeah. It was like 8 or 10 episodes of television. And they just did a collection about 10 years ago, which had like 4 episodes. And I'm like, I feel cheated because I wanted all of them. Swamp Fox was Leslie Nielsen. You know that.
Yeah.
But you tell that to a kid, and they're like, "Oh, that's the guy from the Naked Gun movies." Yeah, right. Okay, fine, sure.
He was Swamp Fox before he was Naked Gun. Now, while we're still on inspirations, your inspirations just, you run the gamut. Ray Bradbury, Harlan Ellison, Mark Twain, George Carlin, and Jerry Lewis. Now,
okay. How
more diversified can one get? You go from sci-fi to comedy to...
Let me start with Jerry Lewis, and I'm picking on him a little, because I knew the man on a personal level, but he's never going to do my show, according to his son, Scott. But it's a dream if he would do it. Jerry Lewis, of course, also did the Video Assist project in the 50s, and not many people knew about it until they won the Academy Award, an honorary Academy Award. And I mean, Jerry created what we use now with every production, whereas you can watch what happens before they send the film out.
Right.
Okay, but then it was a rare commodity, and Jerry developed it at Paramount. And, I mean, that inspires me enough. He also was willing to play instead of, come to work with me and play with me. when I do a show, it's like, yeah, I don't want to, it's not work, have a good time. It's a party. Bring drinks, you know. And people are like, yeah. Now, Ray Bradbury taught me humility, and I'm serious when I did this. I was introducing him at University of Maryland, and I said, you're asking me? And they said, sure. I'd only been writing for about 15 years, so yeah, sure. And I was giving an award that called the Golden Headset, and Ray Bradbury knew about it. And I said, Mr. Bradbury, sir, he put his hand on my mouth and says, call me Ray. And I said, Mr. Bradbury? He says, no, Ray. I mean, this is a man that I overly respected. I still do. He's no longer with us, but I respected him so much. And he knew who I was. He knew about the awards. He knew about everything. He gave me the liturgy of my life backstage. I was like, God. And I was his biggest fan. And it was like, he was my biggest fan. He was a man that I respected so much. I always remembered a couple of months later, we were at that time it was called Book Expo America. Now it's the American Booksellers, you know, American Booksellers Association, Huawei. And he called me and says, Bennett, would you like to sit next to me? Now, his audio publisher had been friends for years, and I'm sitting next to Ray Bradbury. A fanboy's dream, you know. It was like, oh,
absolutely,
my God. I'm sitting next to you. And his publisher looks and says, you know Ray? And Ray put his fingers together and says, we're this close. Of course, that's how much space was between our legs. We're this close. And we were talking while he was autographing. And some of my friends were in the line going, Pomerantz, what are you doing here? And Ray looks and says, he's with me. I'm like, God, yes, okay, can I die now, please? Can I die? Ray Bradbury said, I'm with him.
That is too good, too good.
Well, I want to tell one about a book show I did. I did a mystery convention. And on one side was Ed McBain, who wrote the 87th Precinct Mysteries, who I was a fan of.
Yeah.
And on the other side was Robert B. Parker, that wrote, I knew him moreover from the Spencers. And
yeah.
I'm sitting between both of these men and moderating. Now, Parker is boastful, was boastful and outgoing, and McBain is very calculating. He would talk, but he would talk very slowly.
He thought about his words before he spoke them.
Oh, yeah, but I was moderating, and I'm like, oh, I was ready to die right there. I'm like, this is the second fanboy's wet nightmare, you know. It's like, oh, I'm sitting next to these two men. It's like, which one does not belong? Yeah, you think I understand it? And was I happy? Oh, God, yes. They don't do shows like this anymore. Well, they're doing a Mala Domestica in April in Bethesda, and I hope to see Elaine Vietz, who I love dearly. But do I love doing these shows? Oh, yeah. When they say, oh, you're Bennett Pomerantz, yeah. I have a question for you, though. Do they ever, when you're out in public, do they go, oh, you're Yvonne Nason?
Yes, I've had complete strangers come up to me and say that, and I go, yes, I am. Why? Because I'm just me.
I understand. I was in Target, and my microwave had died. I mean, let's admit it. It died. And I went to buy a new one, and this woman says, you're the guy from Blog Talk. I said, yes, ma'am. And she says, what are you doing here? Now, there's a microwave in the cart. I'm waiting online. And I said, buying a microwave. She says, don't you have people that do that for you?
No, we still have to go to
Florida. I looked at her and I said, I gave them the day off.
That is too funny. No, ladies and gentlemen, I still clean my own toilets and wash my own clothes and cook my own meals for my husband. I still do all of that. Just because we are out there doesn't mean that we have a bevy of paid assistants to, Lord, I wish I did.
Oh, we all do. Believe me, I'd like somebody to clean my toilet anytime. Sure.
I'm telling you. But the first time that happened to me, Bennett, a mother and her daughter came to an event I was working, and they told me they came specifically to that event to buy my books because they knew I was going to be there. Now, if that's not humbling, I don't know what is. For someone that you've never met before to come to you and say, we came specifically to see you. In other words, if you hadn't been here, we wouldn't have made the trip. And it was not a short trip for them to make.
Well, I don't know. Have you ever had a crazy, and I'm not saying I'm not a crazy radio guest, but you ever had a crazy guest or a crazy one that wants to be on your show? Other than
not
me,
yet.
Of course.
Not yet.
I had a guy that I was... Yeah, some of these tables are $300 and $400 a person. And my friend said, you sit at my table for a little while I run around. And, you know, you can put your cards if you want, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And said, try to sell my books. I said, sure, no problem. I did that. And this guy comes up and says, you're Pomerantz from Blog Talk Radio, aren't you? I said, sure. He says, I need radio time. Now, this was in January a couple of years ago. And you have a date in mind? He says, yeah, February 30th. Now, I'm not making this up. February 30th. I opened my book. I said, the first plot I have is July. That's too late. I have a book coming out February 30th. I've never seen his book, by the way. I said, don't you mean March the 2nd? He says, no, February 30th. Okay, fine, whatever you say. I said, when can I get a copy of it? Oh, you can't. You have to buy it like everybody else.
Okay, he wants to be on your show, but he doesn't want to give you the tools to work with in order to interview him. And he wants to come on February the 30th. Would this be in the year 2525?
I have no idea. But make a long story short, I said, I'm a little booked. I have July open. I could see if I could fit you in on April 1. And if you're very, very smart and wise, you know what April 1 is.
Right.
But he says, well, that won't work for me, and storms off. If you go to some of these events, go to the bar. You don't have to drink. Order a water. Order a Perrier. Order a ginger ale. And sit at the bar. You'll get more writers or more artists or more radio hosts. There were like seven of us at the bar. And this guy went to all of us asking for February 30th and wouldn't give us his book. And I'm like, hey, we're all laughing about it. It's not, you know, and we've never seen his book and never heard from him again, but it was like we all were, he didn't even have a business card, but it was like we were having a good time, you know. We weren't at his, it wasn't at his expense. But, yeah, I would, if somebody said to me, I'd like to be on your show, I'll look and say, I have May available, what do you want? You'd put him on.
Well, and that's like me. My shows are booked all the way through the end of July now. I'm working on August already.
Well, put me in at the end of July. I'll come at the end of July again.
I was going to ask you. You just beat me to the punch. I've got to see if I've got end of July open. If not, you'll get the 1st of August.
I'll get the 1st of August. That's good. I'll take it.
We'll do the. I think I have the first round. The first somewhere.
We'll talk about it after the show. Why waste great show time with a lovely like you? I'm lucky I have it.
Oh, come on. You know, I'd have found a place for you if I had to move somebody. I've been known to do that a time or two.
I would come on once a month if you wanted me to. I love this woman. Except those flying monkeys in the green room are a little messy.
Well, they're trying to keep you in line. Some people, the bodies are never found, what can I say? You're one of the lucky ones. They like you.
They like me, yeah. They kept offering me bananas. I'm like, no, I don't do bananas. But thank you. You know, they get the... And they've got their tuxedos on tonight. I mean, jeez.
Yes, they do. Because they knew you were coming on. They dressed
oh, yeah. I mean, I would have brought the cherubs with me in the red carpet, but they were handling it. So I said, sure, whatever, guys.
And if they offer you bananas, take them. Because if you don't take them, then they've been known to put them in places that, well... You'll find them.
I already found one, okay?
Okay. So you know what I'm talking about.
But
tell me.
No, go ahead.
Tell me why Mark Twain was an influence in your life. I find that interesting because.
Okay, Mark Twain, everybody thinks Huck Finn or Tom Sawyer, okay? I remembered his Adam's Diary. And some of his other works, A Pen Warmed in Hell is one of my favorites. When I feel low, I read A Pen Warmed in Hell. And there are times I feel like A Pen Warmed in Hell already. But no, Twain was a critic of the era. Instead of like Gulliver's Travels, which is a satire of the political systems in England, Twain picked on things he could, it was viable. Innocents Abroad was a fascinating book, which most people are like, Innocents Abroad, what is that? I mean, Huck Finn and Tom Sawyer are great characters. I love them. They're wonderful things. But that's all they know Twain from. Can't say that. A Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's court has been milked to death.
Yep.
Even with Whoopi Goldberg doing it once for the movies. But, you know, they haven't really not tapped into some of Twain's classicness. Roughing It is one of my favorites.
And most people don't know he wrote more than Huck Finn and
Tom Sawyer.
Because they both became such political footballs in the censor realm that people forgot about the other things. And you write that no books or education should ever be censored. And I agree with you.
Oh, somebody comes on my radio show and they say the F word. And I overlook it. I don't like it. But I think of my radio show, if you're going to use the F word, excuse you? Try saying fornication. Yeah, okay.
Or something.
Yeah, instead of the, I mean, I could spell F-C-K and the only thing missing is you and... If those get that fun, but I don't try to get overly wise. I mean, I have a shirt saying FCK, the only thing missing is you. And some people are laughing at that shirt and going, yeah, okay. That's the way Bennett is. Now, if I'm doing an appearance, I wouldn't be wearing that T-shirt.
No, you put a jacket on.
Unless it was like... The men's another men's march, I might wear that shirt. But otherwise, no. If I was speaking, I would be looking halfway decently like I do in my pictures. Oh, my God. They're like, oh, you are Bennett Pomerantz. I'm like, yeah, the beard stays.
Well, your mother had
an
influence on your life and from all indications, and I could be wrong, but from all indications, she was extremely important to you, as mothers should be. And her passing sort of ripped a hole in your heart, as the passing of my father did. But you took your grief and put it in a positive
spin. I put it in two books, basically.
Yes.
The first one was written, I was doing very successfully with Blog Talk Radio. I had Rachel Thompson and I had Let's Talk, and I had Anything Goes, and I was starting up the legal show. My mother took ill with pneumonia. I was there when the first salvo of pneumonia hit. I had her under my CPAP machine. Do not take that mask off until the 911 people. And I rode in the ambulance at the 911 people to the hospital. And I brought a portable DVD player and was watching DVDs while watching her through the glass participants. Partitions. But I spent a lot more time with my mother. I took off 7 weeks of radio to spend time with my mother. And I think I rediscovered my mother because, as my late wife would say, I loved my mother. I just didn't like her much. And she and I built a bridge. And sometimes as an adult, you rediscover what you were missing. As a kid, it was like, yeah, Ma, sure, whatever. Mm-hmm. I rediscovered her. And she was pretty darn smart.
She learned a lot in your young age, didn't you? You taught her so much in your youth, didn't you?
are you kidding? I was the firstborn. Oh, God. She and I went round and round with a lot of things. I remember I was at a party and I had brought a girl home with me. And my father was still alive, thank God. But yeah, my mother went in my room and went, Bennett! And in this beautiful woman that was not dressed in my couch, because I had one of those pull-out couches as a bed. And my mother went right back out. And it was like, my father said, can I talk to you for a second? And, you know, it's like, yeah, okay. My mother taught me a heck of a lot, though. The relationship didn't last long, but, oh, God, she was wonderful.
Well, when you were rebuilding these bridges and rediscovering your mother, there were some stories that you decided to put to paper, and that's the name of the first book is
7 weeks.
Seven weeks. Now during those, and that's because you spent the last 7 weeks with your mom.
Well, and, that was the first time, but I took 7 weeks off of doing radio. Most people thought that would be a risky venture, you know, because you had the audience in there and people loved you and everything else. And I took 7 weeks off to spend time with my mother, to spend time knowing my mother. I mean, I kept my columns up and I kept writing, but I spent more time with my mom.
Because radio is demanding.
Oh, it is very demanding, but however, my mother, and I love my mother, but even though she's no longer with us, I love my mother very dearly. Yeah, I took it off, and most people are like, that's a risk. Yeah, I took the risk. My mother was more important to me with the risk.
And I think that because you did that, Bennett, you now have more memories of your mother that you would not have had you not. And I don't look at it as a risk. I look at it as a step, because the people that are loyal to you, like me and a few thousand others, we're still going to be there because that's who we are. The fly-by-night fan is going to be here today and somewhere else tomorrow because that's who they are. So I look more of it as an enrichment period of your life that you were able to do that.
I didn't like, okay, I love my mother. I just didn't like her at that moment.
I'm sorry? I understand that.
And I loved her. I mean, she was my mother. She brought me into this world. You got to know where you're coming from. However, I wanted to kill her. There were times it was like, and we were talking about this off the air, and I thought this was funny. This is in the first book. And my mother, I was 35 at the time, said, and you invite your little friend over for latkes at Hanukkah. Now, you could take one of my mother's latkes, and I did, take an empty glass and see how much oil you could get out of this latke. And, I mean, you had about a quarter of a cup of oil in there, or a half a cup of oil from this one fried potato. That's why my sister-in-law and my niece started taking over cooking, because my mother would cook in oil in grease. And my little friend was, I was 35 at the time, my little friend was 60. And, yeah, my little friend.
Your little friend.
And my little friend, right. And we looked at each other, McDonald's, yeah. We knew we were going to McDonald's after, you know. It's like, yeah. And we tried to stay a little while, you know, Hanukkah was that time, light the candles, you know, get exchange a gift or whatever. And my mother never, and I love my mother dearly, my mother either gave you cash or once in a while a check, but gave you cash or gave you a gift. Now, there were times my mother gave gifts I wouldn't wear in public. She gave me a tie, yellow neon. Oh, God, yes. And I wore it. Where'd you get that? Oh, my mother.
Well,
oh.
It was a conversation piece anyway.
Oh, yeah, people knew. Oh, yeah, did Marty buy that for you? Yeah, Marty bought it for me. Now, I would call my mother to my friends, Marty. I would never call my mother. If I was talking to my brother, I'd call her Marty. Talking to my sister-in-law, I'd call her Marty. If I was talking to her, it would be Mom. Mother or mother.
Depending on what was going on, I understand
exactly.
That.
Mm-hmm. There was one time I got really nasty with her in the hospital. I said, lady, you take your medicines. Is that clear? And she knew I gave her the look. Because she was good at the look. I could still see the look. You know, I was like... And I said, mother, and she would go, Bennett. My name became a double word adjective. It's like, Bennett. Oh, yeah. I said, you're going to take care of yourself. Yes. And my mother would talk me up. My mother was my biggest fan club. I didn't know that until a friend of mine was in the hospital. And she says, oh, your mother talks about you all the time. Now, I love my kid brother, and he's a successful businessman in the Washington metropolitan area. David Pomerantz and Associates is the firm, if you're going to look him up. Shameless plug.
I love it, though.
But make a long story short, my mother was like, oh, he's a writer, and he's an artist, and he's this. Mom, I don't paint. But it was like, she knew, my son is this, and my son, and I'm like, yeah, okay.
She was
and he's done audiobooks, and he's done, I have, and he's done other things, and people are like, you're him? I'm like, yeah, I'm him. Yeah, what can I tell you?
Just let alone me. That is too funny. Two of you, and going back into your childhood again, two of your favorite books as a child was Charlie and the Chocolate Factory and Alice in Wonderland, the Martin Chronicles, and the Glass Tea. Again, such diversified reading material.
The glass teeth was Ellison's touch on media. Alice in Wonderland was a drug fantasy revisited. I mean, I don't know if Lewis Carroll did drugs, but it fascinated me. Alice and Alice Through the Looking Glass was a jigsaw puzzle, was a chess game, was everything put together in uh-huh. book form. I loved it. Now, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory was also, to me, it was like an addled drug dream. I mean, you know, Augustus Gloop with this, you know, drinking from the chocolate river. Come on. It was lovely. And the Oompa Loompas, oh, God, it was a drug dream. Now, I don't do drugs, but still it was like,
but somebody,
you know,
either that or somebody had a very, very vivid imagination.
Oh, yeah, well, I love Charlie and the Chocolate Factory because it is that way. Charlie and the Glass Elevator, not as much. But when you try to go and I used to go into schools, not that I don't, still don't, but I used to go into schools and I said, how many of you like classic books? And the kids would look at me like, huh? What? Where? And I said, well, okay, let me see. A scientist takes a formula and becomes a monster. And they're like, oh, it's the Incredible Hulk. I said, no, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, huh? I said, well, guy lives in a cave and has an assistant and drives in a great car, a great coach. Didn't say car, I said coach. Correct me, slap my fist. Okay, I made a mistake. But, and he says, oh, Batman. I said, no, the Scarlet Pimpernel. And these kids are looking at me like, huh, what? I said, you ever seen Lost? And they said, yeah. Think Robinson Crusoe or Swiss Family Robinson. And these kids were checking out these. I was doing a program in an elementary school. And these kids were checking out books in the library and said, they all the Jekyll and Hydes were gone. They said they wanted to read the British Hulk. And I'm like, all I did was just tell them, and they, you know. A kid or two came up to me a week or two later or whatever, and they said, oh, yeah, I read the British Hulk. It was good.
And all you did was turn their thinking in a different direction, because putting it in the context of the British Hulk, it whetted their appetite of wanting to know more.
Well, okay, I think the Dukes of Hazzard is Robin Hood.
Yeah.
Let's be honest, it's Robin Hood. And they're like, Robin Hood? Yeah. Sheriff of Nottingham, Boss Hogg. You know, I mean, it is basically Robin Hood. And they, a lot of times lately, they can bastardize a series like Chips. Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm putting the critics hat now. Like they're doing now. They're dumbing it down.
Uh-huh.
Now, Chips was a decent cop show. It wasn't a great cop show. So was SWAT. But when you make it humorous, it's fine, great and dandy. 21 Jump Street was a great show. When they did the 21 and 22 Jump Street as a satire, it didn't work because you're destroying it from its element.
Exactly. They took out the moral of the story when they bastardized it.
Yeah, but the problem, I think, with this is, this is half television today.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
agree.
Okay, Empire, Empire is interesting. It's the Black King Lear.
Yep, it
is. But the thing is, and they've kept it in, they've kept the dramatic element. They've changed a little. But still, it's King Lear, and they're like, it's King Lear? Yeah. And you could see it. Lucius is basically King Lear. Cookie is his first daughter, even though it's his wife in the show. It's still, they some people know how to do it.
And make it work.
Exactly. Well, I love the TV show Lucifer. And basically it's Dante's Inferno Revisited.
Yes, it is. In fact,
and
Tom
Ellis is the most is such a witty, and you know, if it wasn't Ellis, I would have. And when I make him older, I would have said Derek Jacobi or Sir Ian McKellen. But Ellis, oh, steals my heart.
Well,
oh,
the
God,
first
yes.
time I saw it, I told my husband, I said, "This is Dante's Inferno Revisited up and down."
Yeah, but it's fun too. It, you know, detective.
And it has moral. It has a moral. Every episode has a moral lesson in it. If you pay attention to the story, it's so well woven into there. If you're not really paying attention to that episode, you don't get it.
Well, I tell you this much. I tend to, with most television these days, buy the season. Because most of these 10 to 15 episode shows, I'd rather watch in a sitting or two or three and do it all at once, because they bastardize time with too many commercials.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather see the thing uncut.
Absolutely. So have
And you, I hate to say it, if you're not a DVD fan, buy it online. I don't care. But I'd rather watch the whole show and enjoy it rather than, you know, every 5 minutes, 10 minutes is a commercial.
And the commercials are 5 or 10 minutes long.
Exactly. And I'm sick of regular prime, I will say this, I'm sick of regular primetime television, because you have a 41-minute show and 19 minutes, 20 minutes for commercials.
That
and
is so true.
And when you get rid of the credits or whatever, or whatever, NTS, thank God, still has it. But you get rid of the credits, you're getting rid of a minute or two more.
Uh-huh.
And they're running it while you're running the show. It's like, no, take it all, you know. I mean, go ahead.
Can you believe that our hour is almost up?
That's why I said I'm planning on coming by next month. I'll stake out my time.
Okay. And
I'm kidding.
No, I've got you down to come back in August.
Kick it up. I mean, I love good talent. I love good television. There are too many shows nowadays, you live on a commercial. And I don't get me wrong, I love television, I love good TV. And this was the age of good television. Now, most of the shows now on HBO, on Cinemax, and even on some of the paid things, have learned you don't want the commercials.
Now you want to do the great show.
You want to do the show, you want to see television. I will tell you one that I'm waiting for the DVD is Feud. I sat through the commercials, and I was watching Jessica Lange and Susan Sarandon play Betty Davis, Jessica was Joan Crawford and Susan Sarandon was Betty Davis.
Uh-huh.
But watching these women, and they have the mannerisms down pat. I went back and rented Whatever Happened to Baby Jane to make sure. And, oh, God, it was, you know. And I love Robert Aldridge. Robert Aldridge did The Great Escape and did The Dirty Dozen. And, well, he did The Dirty Dozen. And he did a number of other movies. And Aldridge was a great filmmaker. But this was an insider's look, and it's fascinating. And if you have to watch it on FX, I'm not trying to shamelessly promote the show. I have nothing to do with the show. But Ryan Murphy did The People versus O.J., and he did this one, and I am so impressed.
Well, real quick, before we run out of time, tell the folks where you can be found in your radio shows.
I'm on Blog Talk Radio. Monday is The Legal Show. Wednesday is Let's Talk. Friday is Anything Goes, and that's at 11 o'clock. I welcome fans listening. I welcome emails. Email is audioworld@yahoo.com. You can message me on Facebook. If I'm doing a show, I will answer you. Maybe not physically answer you while I'm doing the show. I may answer you right on the air.
There you go.
I love that when somebody says, you answered me on the air. Yes, I did. I was lucky. I have a show on Saturday. Once a month, I have a lovely Saturday show, which is 90 minutes, four authors, and it's called Any Which Way But Loose. Yes, I've heard this before. It is a lovely, it's based, yes, I stole the title from Clint Eastwood. So, yes, I'll admit it. I'm a thief. I admit it, okay? The To Be or What column, I stole that from Robin Williams. He says, Hamlet in the park going, To Be or What?
Or what?
And I said, yeah, and I stole it. 15 years ago, I stole it, okay? If Robin Williams Estate wants to do it, fine. They haven't done it yet. But, you know.
So, ladies and gentlemen, catch Bennett on Blog Talk. Also, hook up with him on Facebook because the man is absolutely insanely crazy and we all love him. You don't ever know what's coming out of Bennett's mouth. Or on his page because that is just Bennett. And if you're easily offended, maybe you don't want to offend him on Facebook, or maybe you do, so you can get a tough skin. Get over yourself.
Well, okay, I will say this. I've been getting lately people that says, hi, you want to see all my pictures? Delete. No.
Wrong. So,
I heard you on a Vaughn show. I think you're wonderful. Can I add you? Sure. That's the secret. You say you heard me on Yvonne's show, and oh yeah, I'll do almost anything for Yvonne.
He's good people. Tomorrow night I have author Julie Morgan, and then Saturday night I have Dr. Zeta Gibson, and yes, I'm bringing Bennett back. And ladies and gentlemen, y'all have known me long enough. Y'all have listened to my show long enough. The last couple of minutes of the show, I talk about dreamers. Because we are all dreamers, myself, Bennett, everybody I have on my show is a dreamer. The world, our civilization, is where it is because dreamers dared to dream and make those dreams real. And I always say that when you are on your deathbed and you're breathing your last and some idiot comes up to you and says, well, do you have any regrets, which is kind of late to ask you that question then, because if you do, it's, what are you going to do? But if you say, well, yeah, I shoulda, woulda, coulda, don't be that person. We are only guaranteed this moment in time. And when you allow someone to steal your dream, that is not a good thing, because when they steal your dream, they steal your heart. And when they steal your heart, they steal your reason to live. It's not another person who makes you happy. It is not another person that completes you. It is not another person that is responsible for your well-being. All of those things are on you. And being a dreamer and making that dream real is also on you. And when you allow someone to steal your dream, don't be the person at the end of the day that said, well, if so-and-so hadn't, because you allowed so-and-so to do that. If you want to come on the show, you contact me. You can find me anywhere. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on AdvertiseCast, because I have an email there where you can contact me. I had a girl contact me.
She answers smoke signals, by the way.
There you go, smoke signal. You can ask Bennett how to contact me. Everybody that is in my social network knows how to contact me. If you are an artist, if you are a musician, if you're an author, if you're somebody like Bennett Pomerantz and you have radio shows and you write articles, if you're a business person, hell, if you even have a platform, I don't care. If your dream is to be on a radio show, then bring it. But understand, when you bring it, we don't know what the hell we're going to do because it's always off the chain. Right, Bennett?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She does what I do. We don't plan the shows. We just have a party and have a good time.
There you go. And I want to thank you, my friend, for spending an hour of your time with me. I'm very honored and blessed that you're in my life, and I mean that sincerely. You are a good people.
Well, you know I love you, and I don't care if your husband knows it or not.
He don't care. So until tomorrow night, ladies and gentlemen, remember this. Join us at 8 o'clock on Off the Chain. Tell your friends. Understand we're heard all over the world. Love yourself, like yourself, accept yourself, and live your dream, even if it is dog catcher. If that is your dream, live it. So until tomorrow night, I say good night. Now we're off the air, my friends, but we're still going to archives, as you know. But when this thing goes up in archives, I'm going to tag you in it and
okay.
Let you do some more shameless promotion, and then tomorrow I'll put all the podcast up, and then I'll tag you in all the podcasts.
Well, tell me when you August is great, but I'll come anytime you want me.
Well, let me let the dog out. Hold on.
Yeah. Everything but the 14th of July. That's booked. That's been booked for 6 months.
Oh, my goodness. You sound like me. Hold on.
No, that's my 40th high school reunion. It's booked.
Oh, I see.
I'm getting old, okay?
May is full. May is full. I know June is full.
You're like me. I'll take any day you got for me, sweetie.
I see, and I'm pretty sure
I want you to listen to a show after the 21st. I've got what she calls herself Antique Deb. She has a radio show called Slave Nation.
Mm.
Oh, she's amazing. Oh, I'm only prejudiced. You can't tell.
No, not at all. I've got, believe it or not, I've got July the 8th open.
Let me get the July. July the 8th?
Yeah, it's a Saturday. Oh, you got a thing on Saturday, though, don't you?
No, the 8th I'm free. The 22nd, I'm not.
Okay, I'm going to put down. I've got. What are you doing July 1st?
July 1st? I'm free. Canada Day, I'm free. I'm not Canadian.
Well, I'm not sure if the children are going to plan something for the 4th. We'll do the 8th. I'll put you down for the 8th.
That'd be good.
And
if you want to go for 90 minutes, I'll have fun. 90 minutes. Oh, God, are you kidding?
All right, I got you down for July the 8th.
And I got a threat for you.
What's that?
I got a threat for you. What are you doing on the 22nd?
Of July. I have a show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I have a show that night.
Okay. Well, I was trying to put you on any which way but loose.
What time is that one?
8 to 10.
See, I got a show at 8. If she comes through, she hasn't sent me her stuff yet.
Okay.
So,
but I'm just saying, it would be great. I do your show on the 8th, and you come back on the 22nd with three other guests.
Well, what if? I come on August the 5th, because so far that one's open.
August the 5th isn't a 90-minute show with three
okay.
other guests. Any which way but loses. I do the 90-minute shows on Saturday nights. I'd love to come on July the 5th.
Well, I'm bringing you in on July the 8th, which is a
yes,
Saturday
ma'am.
Night. Okay.
Okay, then
and,
I'm here. I've got it. It's booked. It's done.
Okay.
The 14th, I won't be booked because on the 15th, I'm going to my high school reunion.
And you'll have fun there.
I'm not sure. I had a lot of that. I was thinking of working on I have a book idea, and I was picked on when I was in high school. So, and I'm discussing it.
I went to one that was my 10th year, and I never went back.
Well, this is my 40th year.
I have no desire to go to any reunion. They all want me to come because now I'm quote unquote famous, but
yeah, well, I had that problem myself.
I don't. I might hook up with a couple of them because they were my friends in school, but I don't want to be around all those people. Isn't that awful?
Well, I love it when they say you're better than Pomerantz. I'm like, yeah, I haven't changed. I'm still him. But you're Bennett. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
You're famous. Yeah.
I have found that people that I didn't talk to for years and years and years and years, all of a sudden, and it's not just school, it's people I've known, now all of a sudden they want to tell people they know me, which is an honor. I'm humbled and I appreciate it. But why couldn't you tell people you knew me before I became who you think I am?
Well, I always love when they're like, but you're Bennett Pomerantz. I'm like, yeah. You're the guy from the radio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But people are funny creatures. But I'm going to get off from here, my friend, and go.
Okay.
And
give your husband my best.
I will.
Thank him for the loan of you.
I will. I will tell him that.
Thank you for the loan of you. I had a great time.
I did, too. Thank you very much for coming on and spending an hour with me. I appreciate it.
I love doing you. I the more I hear your show, I'm like, I'll come on as co-host if you want.
And we might just do that one night.
I'd love to.
Okay.
Get another guest, and I'll play Bennett. You know, I'd be Bennett. You know, that's who I am.
Let's see what we can work up. And with that,
please.
I'm going to sign off.
Good night, sweetie.
Good night, darling. Bye.
And now, insurance-minded speeches from GEICO.
It's a common expression, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. However, what if the horse's mouth is filled with useful insurance tools? This is the exact case with the GEICO app. Yes, the app is free and therefore a gift horse. However, look inside the app and behold, emergency roadside assistance, digital ID cards, bill pay. Get the GEICO app. Look it in the mouth. Get amazing services. Thank you.